Want more stories in your life without adding to your TBR? That's where Audible comes in. I use it for the original novellas, the Plus catalog like Deanna Reborn's Veronica Speedwell series, and those audiobook sales that you can beat. Right now, Audible has a special offer for new and returning members. Click the link in the show notes to see what deal you'll get and start listening today. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast. In this podcast, your host, Lori and me, will invite a bookish guest to share their favorite book recommendation. If you share a passion for books and always looking for your next read, then join us. Hi, Kate. Welcome to the What to Read Next podcast.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad to be here.
So happy to have you here. So tell us a little about yourself.
My name is Kate. I am a librarian. I am very interested in books and reading. I enjoy bullet journaling and different crafting sort of things. But beyond that, I'm a twin sister. So I have a twin sister, so that's pretty fun too. But yeah, I just love reading. I love books. I love talking about books. That's really the majority of my hobbies, I should say.
I love this. I've been trying bullet journaling this year, and then yeah. The epic fail. Like I was like, I had like grand intentions, and then 2020 happened, and it was like, oh, it's good.
I mean, 2020 is a bit of a wash as far as that's concerned, but no, I love it. It's a creative outlet for me. I struggle with a lot of anxiety. Mm-hmm. And so it's something that I, at the end of a work day, I love to go into for a de-stressing time.
Yeah.
But you know, it works for some people. It doesn't work for others. It's, you know, and 20, like I said, 2020 is a bit of a wash when it comes to, you know, working on things like that. So yeah. I completely understand.
I feel yes.
Yeah.
Book recommendations. So first things first, which authors are your autobiography, or which authors do you think we should check out their backlist?
This was really hard for me because I've read a ton of books this year, but I did narrow it down to three, I think. So the first one I always suggest to people to read is Jackie Lau. Yes. I don't know if you've heard of her, but she's a fantastic Canadian author. She writes Asian American romances, she's a Canadian author. So her books take place in Canada, but she's really great if you want a diverse Asian author. Three of my top picks for her are Holiday with the Wong series. And that would be perfect for around this time of year, because she has a Thanksgiving book. She has it's Canadian Thanksgiving, but it still works for regular Thanksgiving, American Thanksgiving. She has a Christmas book. She has a Valentine's Day book. She has a Chinese New Year book, which is really interesting too. And they're short. She writes short. Even her full length books are usually like around 200 to 240 pages. So they're really short. They're quick. She's really, really great. I also love the Baldwin Village series, which is really, she's known for her food descriptions, which I love. But if you don't have food in front of you when you're reading this, you're going to be sorry, because it's going to make you want to eat. Mm-hmm. And then Pregnant by the Playboy, which is one of the books she's came out with this year. It's it has a secret baby kind of accidental pregnancy trope, which is not my favorite. That's probably on my lesser favorite, but I tried it out and I actually really loved it. And I'm really excited. I don't know if it's coming out this coming year, but I know that she announced that she is doing a book called Donut Fall in Love with Berkeley, which I'm really excited for, because I think everything out she's published has been indie, and this one will be like a big publisher. So I'm really, really excited for that one. The books have great family dynamics. Like I said, food is a big part of it. And then her heroes generally are more on the softer side, like Cinnamon Rolly, which is my favorite type of hero. So I would really suggest it. The second one I would say is Olivia Dade. It's been a year of Olivia Dade for me. She is a author who writes plus size heroines and pop body positivity type characters. She likes to tackle some fat culture and ideas about romance and plus size women. And I really, really love that as a plus size woman myself. Heroines are really strong, and she actually focuses on more adult or older, not adult, they're all adults, but older couples like 35 plus, which I really, really enjoy. And The books that I would suggest by her are Spoiler Alert, which just came out. That was a main publisher type title. Then there's 40 Love, which is a fantastic age gap romance. Teach Me, which was my first and my favorite of the grouping, which deals with a romance between two teachers. And then Sweetest in the Gale is a collection of short stories, novella type stories she's written throughout the years. And she's just compiled them into a bigger book, and which was really, really good. I think one of them is new, and then it was either one of them is new and two of them were from other things she wrote or vice versa. I can't exactly remember, but I love her. Her book, again, her heroes are very cinnamon rolly, and she's one of my all-time favorites. She doesn't have a huge backlist, but these are my top picks from her. And then the last one I'm going to say is Alexis Hall. She is one of, or I don't know. I think she's gender queer. Yeah. So I don't want to say he or she, but Alexis Hall. I love this person's books. Awesome. They're British. They mainly write male. There's, you know, a good mixture of spicy and sweet. The three books I would suggest from this person is Boyfriend Material, which was their first like big like publisher book, which I adored. It's like basically if you love like the old British like rom-coms from the 90s, you're gonna adore this book. It is so good. I couldn't stop raving about it earlier this year. And then For Real is one of my all-time favorite books in their Spires series, which is a BDSM book. Male BDSM book, which I don't read a lot of BDSM books, but man, oh man, this thing was good. Super, super good. And then Waiting for the Flood, which was another book in the Spires series, which had to do with a man that is stuck in a flood, like it's flooding out in his community. And it's a romance between him and somebody that is trying to help stop the flood. And it sounds kind of not interesting, but I tell you, I loved it. I absolutely loved it. And so, yeah, those are my three for backlist titles for sure.
I love this. Alexis Hall, you should check out How to Make a Billionaire. That's a trilogy.
Yeah. That's on my list for 2021. Mm-hmm. I really want to read that.
That was their take on.
I actually have it on my Kindle.
Yeah, that was their take on 50 Shades of Grey. I'm from Melmel, so.
Oh.
So good.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, so much better. Well,
I notice I prefer BDSM if it's male. I don't always love it if it's male. Yeah. I don't know why. I just don't. But that's why I loved For Real. I'm willing to try any Alexis Hall after I read For Real. For Real was amazing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So yeah.
So let's talk about 2020. So what are your top five books that you can't stop gushing about?
Oh man, this is so hard, Laura.
I know. How many?
Because I read 240 books.
Oh my gosh.
Well, quarantine was good to me. I tell people all the time, I had 5 months off because I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
So they had to close all the schools. Everyone was quarantined. And so I had 5 months to do whatever I wanted. And what I wanted to do was read. So I normally wouldn't read that much. I usually average about 150 books usually. So, but I think I got a good group. So I'm going to go with my first one is The Widow of Rose House by Diana Biller. I just finished that, I believe, in October. Mm-hmm. And I can't stop talking about it. It may be my favorite book of the year. It's hard because it's hard to think about what I read in January in the same way of the books I've read in, you know, October, November or whatever. But yeah. I think it's probably my favorite book of the year. It's an amazing story. It's a historical romance. Again, there's a scientist hero and he's very cinnamon rolly, which again, I love. Mm-hmm. But what stuck out to me with The Widow of Rose House is the heroine and the type of struggle she has gone through previously with her previous marriage. And it's unlike any other historical romance I've read. And I haven't read a ton of non-Regency historicals, but man, I'm going to keep looking at more non-Regency historicals. And I cannot believe this was her debut because it was done so, so well, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. And it's a ghost story. So it's good for, you know, the Halloween-y type of year. The next one would be Thirsty by Mia Hopkins. I plowed through Thirsty and I cannot remember what the second book is.
Crash.
Thread. I love them both, but the first one has a special place in my heart. And again, the reason I love this book so much is because, one, it's a diverse characters, which is a big focus for me for 2020. And Sal was such a really interesting character. He was always trying to do the right thing, but things went against him all the time, and he just couldn't get things going. But I loved his heart. I loved the discussion of the prison system and how you're trying to get through, you know, try to make yourself a better life when you get out, but it's harder because there's gang life in this story. But I highly, highly suggest it to anybody who wants a story like that. It's so, so good. I couldn't stop raving about this duology. And I think there, from what I understand, there might be a third one coming, but I haven't heard much about it. But those two are fantastic. But Thirsty is the first book in that duo. The third book I would say is Doctor's Discretion by E.E. Ottman. Because it is a year for me of trying to focus on more diverse titles, I wanted to get a trans romance. Mm-hmm. And E.E. Ottman came up several times. And so I saw this one, and while I hate the cover. The cover just, to me, is kind of cheesy. The quality of the writing is so, so good. This is basically my elevator pitch with this. Is a story between two doctors. One is a Black doctor in the, I think it might be the 1800s. And then there's I think he's a white male doctor. And they have to come together to catalog medical artifacts after another doctor has passed away. And one of them discovers that another person has been brought in who is a trans man. And back in that time period, it was very, very dangerous to be an out trans person. And it's them coming together to kind of save this person. And they fall, you know, obviously they fall in love because it is a great romance. But what I loved about it specifically is the discussion of the history of trans identity back then, and how dangerous it was. So I think for that alone, I would reread it all the time. I absolutely adored that book. It's short too. It's like novella length, but it's so, so good. The fourth one I would say, which was an earlier thing for me, was Love Lettering. I read this back in, I think, January or February by Kate Claiborne. Kate Claiborne was always recommended to me on Twitter. And I'm like, well, let's try it. And I tried Love Lettering. And one of the reasons I loved it was because the heroine is a hand letterer. But I don't know. Kate Claiborne writes such good heroines. And what got me going with it is her friend. She has a friendship in there. She lives in New York City. And she initially, when she moved to New York City, she moved in with this friend. They were really close. But it talks about how they kind of, as time goes on, how they, you know, with adult friendship, sometimes you drift apart based on what's going on in your life, which was truly, I completely understood that. I felt that. And the romance obviously was great. It's hard for me to say what anything else with Love Lettering, but I would just say, just pick it up. Like I said, the unique part of it is that she's a hand letterer. She's writing messages in her pieces. In this particular one, she's basically saying that she doesn't think this couple is going to make it. And the man confronts her, and then the story goes from there. But it's a fantastic, fantastic romance. And the last one is new to me, but I know a lot of people love this story. 9 Rules to Break mm-hmm. When Romancing a Rake by Sarah McLean. Mm-hmm. I adored this book. And I think my main reason that I adored this book so much is Callie. Callie is probably the best historical character, romance character I've ever read. She's fantastic. She's unapologetic. She's just trying to grab life by the horns. You know, she's not, you know, normally at this time you would want to wait for a man and, you know, do all the domestic things that you're supposed to do at that time. But she was like, you know, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do what I want with this. And I just loved it. I can't say any more than that. I just loved it. And I've read like four or five Sarah McLean books this year, and that one takes the cake. I absolutely loved it. And it was basically because of Callie. I loved Callie.
Oh my gosh, I have to pick it up. I think I own it, and it's like, it's one of those things where I was like, I just need to go back to author's backlist. Yeah. Like, but there's like so many books to read.
Well, she was always recommended. Like, she's a classic author, like historical romance author. But I was like, oh, I don't know. And then I read this one because they did a, on Instagram, they did like a Summer of Sarah McLean.
Yeah.
And so I picked up this book because of that. And I could not put it down. I loved it so, so much.
I love this so much. Yeah. So you're a fan of pick a subgenre, rom-coms, contemporary, small town, historicals, etc. What has been that you've read this year that you can't stop gushing about? From
the first one I would say is I'm a big contemporary reader. I love contemporary romance. I read a lot of different types of romances, but I find that I always go back to contemporary. It's one of my favorites. The one I'm going to suggest is actually sadly, it's the last book in a series. So it's called Headliners by Lucy Parker. I don't know if you've read Lucy Parker, but she is a fantastic author. The reason I picked Headliners is because that's what I've read this year, but I would highly suggest going back and reading the first book in the series because they are loosely connected. But this one is about two rival like news people who have to come together to work at on like a type of chat show, because this is in Britain, so a type of like chat show or thing, and they have to work together even though they absolutely hate each other. For reasons you would know about in one of the previous books. It's forced proximity, which I love. Oh, no, I'm sorry, not forced proximity. It's the last, like I said, it's the last in the series. Sabrina and Nick are really great characters. I don't know. I just love their banter. And then I would say within the series, my favorite book is the Austin Playbook, which is this previous book. But yeah, I don't have much more to say about Headliners because I don't want to spoil things because it is the last in a series, but I would highly suggest picking that up. I binged the entire series beside for Headliners because I had an early copy of Headliners, but the other books I binged from my library in like 2 days. I absolutely adored the books. They were so good. And I'm so excited for anything Lucy Parker comes up with next. So
yeah, she's coming up with some fun book. I think it's a royal or baking or something related to.
Yeah, I saw that. I'm really, really excited for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, her writing is just, it's just really good. I just love it.
Yeah, I've been to read the first book in the series and I have them on Hoopla so I can actually listen to them.
Yeah, I listen to them too. I'm a big audiobook listener, like, and that's why I read so much.
Yeah.
But I listened to the first, I think there's 5 in the series, maybe, or 4. I listened to the first, anything but Headliners, I listened to, and they're all very, very good. In this series, actually, besides for Headliners, I love Pretty Face, which is the age gap romance. It's my other favorite one in the series. Actually, the first one is my least favorite. No, the second one is my least favorite. The first one I really like, too, is that's a hate to love sort of romance, which I really like with these, that she tackles a different trope, usually.
Yeah.
One, which I enjoy a lot too. So yeah.
I love this. Yeah. So tell us where you can find you online.
My Instagram is at Beyond Bookish. That's where you can find me most of the time. I'm always on my stories doing things. And I really love being on there. My blog is beyondbookish.com. And I'm not as vocal, or I don't post as much on there, but I am trying to get back into it. And I do like to blog. So that's that one. And the one that I'm trying to really get into more of is Twitter. My handle is beyondbookish_Kate. But yeah, that's where you can find me.
Awesome. Thank you, Kate, for being on the show.
Yeah, of course. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast, feel free to share with friends, subscribe, rate, and review the show. This is the easiest way to support this podcast. Want to connect with fellow romance readers and make new friends, get weekly book recommendations, attend monthly meetups, then join our Patreon community. You can join at whatreadnextblog.com/Patreon. Romance lovers, check out Queen Bee Reads Etsy shop for cute and comfortable bookish apparel. The shop also features social justice apparel and fun items from some of your favorite TV shows like The Schitt's Creek and The Office. Use code WHATTORead10 to save. Visit whatreadnextblog.com/queenbeereads. What to Read Next podcast is part of the Frolic Podcast Network. Discover new podcasts to love on frolic.media/podcast. Thank you so much for listening and have a great day.
Are you an author, publisher, or book-related business looking to reach passionate readers? What to Read Next podcast is a perfect place to connect with an engaged audience of romance and mystery lovers who are always on the hunt for their next great read. Now, we're offering sponsorship opportunities. Whether you're launching a new book, promoting an upcoming release, showcasing a bookish product or services, we can help you get the word out. Let's work together to bring your books or businesses to readers who are ready to discover something new. Please visit whatyoureadnextblog.com/sponsorships to learn more or reach out to chat about the perfect sponsorship or package for you. Thank you so much for listening. Your next great reader is waiting for you.